Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio, I have Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So let's start with, I think you talked about this a little bit with Walker last week, but I cannot pass up the opportunity to ask you. So legally, what is the correct protocol when I'm seeking a parking space, let's say on Pensacola Beach, let's say during spring break, and I find a choice space, but someone else is standing there in the space holding it for somebody else who's not there and says to me, you can't come here. What's my preferred option at that point?
Well, first of all, that ain't cool. You know, don't do that. Don't sit in it. There's no specific statute that says you can't stand in a parking space in a public parking place to reserve a spot.
Yeah, are there, like, is she obstructing traffic?
No, we looked at all those statutes since then.
Yeah.
Has taken place. So, but we cannot find a specific statute that says you can't do that. So, and this, you know, the obstructing traffic is typically for roadways and not necessarily for parking spots. So here's the thing. First of all, I wouldn't suggest you do it. And if someone else is doing it and you really need that parking space so bad, just give us a call and we can try to sort this thing out, which is what I wish they would have done instead of getting into this fight that I guess went viral.
I saw the video 1,000 times. I think anybody with social media saw the video 1,000 times. I'm sure people in, you know, Latvia watched this video 1,000 times. But how did it get from, hey, move, to no? How'd it get from there to the mud wrestling, rolling around on somebody that was the eventual outcome of this?
Well, you know, every time something happens, I get inundated with videos. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? You know, like I haven't. But I see pieces of it. So what I'm trying to say is I haven't seen all of it. There's a couple other different videos of the same scenario. And our officers that showed up, the deputies that showed up at the from the beach, did their investigation, talked to witnesses, because some stuff that may not have been on that video.
Right.
And they determined that there were two primary aggressors. And my understanding is that eventually someone put hands on someone else, and that's where you cross the line. That's where you violate the law, and that's where you go to jail. And that's what took place. I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised. I've seen a lot better fights than this, and I'm surprised.
It's not something you'd pay to watch
in
a professional setting. It's kind of an awkward, horrible... Again, when it ends with you, I think with her back to the other girl rolling around on top of her, kind of like, what is happening in this world?
I saw one grabbing the leg and just sitting there, and I don't know if they were tired or what. I don't know how it really worked out.
Fighting's a very aerobic activity.
It can be.
People don't realize.
Anyone that's been a wrestler knows 3 minutes of wrestling or boxing is 3 minutes too long.
Oh, yeah.
For those of us who aren't in that kind of shape. But anyways, to not make too much light of it, stop with the stupidity. Stop with fighting over a parking space. Again, if you really feel that empowered, well, just call us and we can try to sort things out. I probably will say, look, go on about your business and find another parking space or move about. Just don't go too far on it. So you know, we put our message board up and at the beach and told them, hey, you know, fighting will end up.
Yeah.
With an arrest.
And in this case, it was the two, and then the other woman tried to intervene, and then that got taken as aggression, and so it was four in the end. And the two who were, I guess, holding the spot, those are the ones that got arrested, right? And the two who were
I don't know which ones was holding the spot.
Well, I'll just because it's easier. The white girls didn't get arrested, the black girls got arrested in this case, right?
I don't know the names of the people that were arrested or which ones were arrested. I just know we made two arrests on that. I didn't. Well, once I talked to the deputies and said, okay, what did we do here? Did we make an arrest? Was there a criminal violation? Clearly, there's a fight going on.
Right.
Is it a mutual combatant thing, or is it something that we end up needing to charge somebody? And ultimately, they told me they'd had to charge someone. I didn't really ask questions on what's the name of this person? Was that person there? It doesn't matter at that point when you put your hands on somebody.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to go to jail.
And the general guidance would be something like, be cool, man. Yeah. Let's just not do this. This is not.
It's
but
not
so
worth
many,
it.
But I mean, you and I have talked so many times, not in this exact context, but about in domestic situations, or in gang incidents that start and keep retaliating because nobody can say I'm just going to leave the area. Nobody can say I'm just going to quit. Nobody can just give it up or de-escalate or whatever. And you know, in a domestic situation, you just keep bickering, sniping, and eventually somebody winds up slapping and hitting and stabbing and shooting often. And it seems like to me this is basically what happened here, is you had people who nobody was willing to be wrong, nobody was willing to just turn around and go away, and as a result, we got what we got.
I mean, it only takes two.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can have thousands or hundred thousands of people in a location, and it only takes one or two. You see this in almost any large event.
Yeah.
You know, almost any concert you go to, any ball game you go to, you know, you'll have a handful of fights here. And it's usually because someone feels like they're slighted, disrespected, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, and they cannot walk away. They can't let cooler heads prevail, as they say in the sports industry. I think it's – but think about this. We've only had, that I'm aware of, two fights in all of spring break so far. Both of them have been well documented on social media. But
what's the other one?
There's one on the I think the boardwalk.
Okay. I was out for a week, so I must have missed it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, there was another one. But again, no one was arrested in that one. They fought, and then they left. And when we got there, we couldn't find anyone that was involved. So there was no arrest in that one. But from what I understand, very good.
That's
crowds.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
that's good for spring
considering
break.
Considering
so
what I'm hearing in
other places,
Panama City, and in Daytona, and Miami areas.
Yeah, we'll
doing
take
pretty
it.
Good.
I wish we weren't infamous for something so dumb, you know, but that's the nature of social media these days. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second, Chip. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just a new accident that just happened, a vehicle crash with roadblock on East 9 Mile Road and Chandler Street. There's a partial roadblock, so definitely avoid that area. Also, if you're trying to get into NAS Front Gate, it is backed up all the way to Sunset. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. On a much more serious note, you had a case where, as I understand it, a couple of kids kind of come running out of a house. They've been allegedly beaten or even strangled by their dad, and the landscaper was kind of the hero in this situation, kind of protecting them and calling for help. What happened here?
They did what they should have done. As it goes, there were some landscapers that are doing work, you know, working for a living.
Yeah.
And then they hear a commotion in a house that's nearby, and then they see either a little boy or a little girl. Or young girl, this kind of thrown out of the house into the yard, and then they kind of leave that yard. So the landscaper brings that child to safety, and then they hear another disturbance going on, and then they see another child that's being, grabbed by the hair and thrown out the door. Mm. And so they take that child back to the same place they took the first child. So both children are in what's at least a temporary safe space. The landscaper calls the sheriff's office. We get there and investigate and determine that the caregiver, the father, was involved in a child abuse situation. And there was some door kicked in, some hair pulling, and some child abuse. And so we ended up arresting them. And we obviously, you know, want to thank the landscapers for doing what they should have done, what I hope everyone would do in that case, you know, do what they can to protect the child. And then call us and let us take it from there.
And my understanding is that the dad even basically told the deputies what he had done. Is that right?
Yeah, I can't get into statements that they're given on criminal activity, but I can say
I thought I read that. So
yeah, the media can report on it, but law enforcement, we're not necessarily.
Okay, fair enough. You guys have there was one other that it was such an unclear story to me. A guy who was trespassing in multiple homes and did like tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. What was he doing? What happened here?
Well, he was doing drugs is what he was doing. We got a call. Well, that's my opinion. I can give those opinions. We got calls that there was a potential prowler or even a potential burglar in the area. It was on the west side of Escambia County. And then we got a couple other calls, and we ended up finding a suspect in the middle of the road. He's skipping around, running a little bit, and clearly, to us at least, intoxicated. And we did an investigation, found that he had committed criminal mischief on at least four homes to the tune of about $20,000 total.
Good Lord.
So he's tearing up these houses. Now, was he trying to get in? Was he just...
What did he damage? I mean, $20,000 is a lot.
It's an exterior of homes, window areas sheds and such in the back of the house. That's my understanding. And again, we totaled it up, and obviously it's felony criminal mischief. I don't think we can determine that he was trying to get into a house. And when we talked to him again, he was a little bit under
out
the influence.
Okay,
so we're just trying to figure out what's wrong with him. Is it something that that he needs some treatment over, or something he did, you know, temporarily with drugs and stuff.
But okay.
It was $20,000, and again, middle of the night, you need to leave people's houses alone.
Yeah,
that's the safest way I can say it.
It's a lot of damage, but then again, windows and doors are expensive to repair, so I can see how it would add up potentially pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You guys have Dream Big coming up this Saturday. Class is full. This is like preparation for Blazer Academy, like, right, kind of? I mean, yeah, it's for the younger ages.
Yeah, it's for younger ones. And the thought originally was that, you know, you can dream big. You can dream of being a police officer. You can dream of being a deputy. And so we wanted a program, a little quasi-mentorship program, quasi-police academy, you know, junior academy. It's kind of a junior deputy program, but for age kids, boys and girls, ages 5 to 11. We wanted to catch that elementary school age. That's why I went all the way to 11. And it's little different stations, canine station, police operations, vehicle stations, a physical fitness station. We have a mentorship station, like a core value station, crime scene station. And then we have a graduation where we give them a little mini ID card. And all this is purchased and paid for through our Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. So it's a wonderful program. It fills up as soon as we open it up. And this is the second one we've had this summer. And we may not have another one this summer because when school starts, usually we hold off on them. But they've been very successful. It's something that we certainly appreciate the foundation for.
So police academy-esque, but you don't put shoe polish on the bullhorn.
No. That's not. There's no hazing anymore.
That's not part of
that sort of thing.
Oh,
no.
You know, shucks.
I don't think anyone knows what shoe polish is nowadays.
That's probably fair. you know, whenever you talk about these outreach programs, it always reminds me of kind of your background as coaching football, mm-hmm. and all the things you did with those kids, and hearing you talk about that at various times about their experience of crossing bridges they'd never crossed in their life,
right.
Like literally crossing bridges to go to an island
literally.
Or across
right.
a state line that they'd never done in their life, you know, that kind of stuff, and that expanded exposure to other life experiences that they don't have. I think of that in the context of, you know, Chip Simmons wouldn't be the sheriff he is if he hadn't coached football, you know, that kind of thing. But
we are the sum of our experiences.
It's right.
And so when we
right.
look at what we've done in the past and what has touched with us, you know, okay, I remember that coach saying this, or I remember a father, grandfather saying this, and some people don't have that opportunity. So let's do what we can. Let's do our part. And we're certainly
right.
doing our part at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
We're in session right now, so I sometimes like to ask my law enforcement friends about their opinion about bills that are pending. One of the bills that's pending right now is to require front plates in Florida. You know, a lot of states have front and back plates. I've lived in both. I grew up in Illinois. So Illinois is a front plate state. I think all the states since then have been not front plate states. From a law enforcement perspective, do you have an opinion about whether having front plates would help you in crime fighting, identifying Amber Alerts, finding criminals, plate readers? I mean, all the different things that go into law enforcement for you. How much benefit would front plates have from a law enforcement perspective?
Well, you know, you look at it, you know, pragmatically, is it going to help if you have a tag in the front and tag in the back?
Yeah.
Yes, but would it help if you put a big old billboard in the back of your pickup truck or on top of your hood? And
double the size of the existing plate, right, yeah.
So what my question, I guess, is where do you stop? We haven't had it, and quite honestly, I'm not sure what are you going to do with your Roll Tide plates that you already have in front of your pickup truck.
Your War Eagle plates, you meant to say.
Or Gators or whatever you have. You know.
No, you meant to say War Eagle, though.
Well, I don't know that I meant to say anything. I'm just telling you, there's you know, when you got an Alabama tag in the front and you got a, you know, it's on your tank top too. What else are you gonna? I don't know. It just seems like you only wear one hat at a time.
I gotcha. Plus, it would ruin John Pickens' beautiful front grill.
Yeah, that's what they're really dealing with.
Charger, so.
I don't know. I haven't done the research. You could probably talk to him, you know, give me some time to think about it. But would it help? Probably. Is it worth all of the, you know, the troubles to do all that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I was just curious if you had a thought.
I'm just a local sheriff.
You're one of 67 very important local law enforcement officials. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time, keeping us safe, keeping us informed, and I will talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.